All right, Mace. So once in a blue moon, you and I will text each other, but we don't send each other a million texts.
No, we right? do not. We do not.
But I set you on Saturday afternoon. I'm watching the LAFC game on TV, and I knew that you were there. And I said to you, I forget exactly what I said, but is this even half as good as it looks on TV? Because the experience on TV was so exciting and so riveting. I can't imagine what it must have been like inside.
Well, I mean, those fans just never quit. Never quit. And it was, because it was a roller coaster, right? When when we felt that we were in extra time and Gareth Bale pulled that off and the place went absolutely nuts. And then PK, the goalie gets hurt and all of a sudden you've got John McCarthy, a goalie. And I mean, it was amazing. It was a game that had everything. It's one of the coolest games I've ever been regardless of sport.
That's what I was going to ask. I was curious because, I mean, to think of all the different sporting events you've been to and to see all these championships in Los Angeles. And, you know, I kind of find this crazy that when LAFC became a team, they're here in Los Angeles, and an MLS team, did you ever think, like, hey, this thing could get, maybe in 25 years, it can get really big. It can be a really big deal here in LA. Were you kind of, were there moments you're at the stadium just saying, like, damn, they really did.
Well, I had that experience when I was the Falconer, right? So that made me just love the team and love the, it was one of the, I mean, it was a life highlight to be the Falconer and to have that thing, you know, on your end, take off and fly around. I mean, it was amazing. And then Will Ferrell and the ownership group and Larry Berg, who's like the big owner. I was down in the field this year talking to Larry, great guy. He was talking about, you know, what transfers they were going to work. I mean, just all round fantastic. Mm. And by the way, the MLS Cup is coming in here today.
I know it should be here shortly. So we're excited to see that coming up in a little bit. But I want to go back to what
Al
said.
Is Ireland there or no?
John, are you there?
Yep.
Oh, there you are.
There, did you get a chance to see it, John?
Oh, yeah. Whole thing. Watched the entire game. Matter of fact, I texted with about 3 minutes to go that I think it's the best soccer game I've ever seen. And what's weird is I tweeted that. Here's what I tweeted. This MLS Cup final might be the best soccer game I've ever seen. Just ridiculous drama. I've been convinced that it's been over three times. going to a shootout now between two goalies who are friends in front of the 32-52. This game will be talked about for years. Now, part of this is because it's Twitter, and Twitter sucks, and everybody on it is miserable. But the blowback I got was stunning. It was, this isn't real soccer because Gareth Bale is at the end of his career, and these aren't elite players. None of that has anything to do with how great the game was. I didn't go out and proclaim that the LAFC is going to go to the World Cup and compete. Right. But boy, soccer fan is a little red-assed, is a little chippy.
Well, a lot of Galaxy fans got pissed off in my timeline. A lot of Galaxy fans are like, well, yeah, we won championships and you never talked about us.
Good for you.
And I would say, and
that's because I don't think we ever had the Galaxy on.
Yeah, exactly. Right, they never invited me to have their bird on my arm, you know?
Well, and what they did... If all it takes is a bird on an arm.
Bird on my arm, and I'm like, I'm in.
Let's go. But this goes back
to
Sleaze
Boy. Did you notice who was the Falconer on Saturday?
Yeah, Magic Johnson.
It was Magic?
Yeah, it was Magic. It was really cool.
He's a minority owner for this.
Well, I was going to say, look, if you get Magic in your ownership group, good things happen to you. I just read it off, all the championships that he's had. But, Mace, go back to what Slee asked you there a second ago. You were in the house for the Super Bowl not that long ago.
Correct.
You went to Arlington for the World Series.
I was there for the Dodgers World Series.
Right,
yeah.
So you've seen a lot of them very recently.
2010, I was at the Lakers championship.
Over the Celtics. Okay, so you have a pretty good resume.
I've seen them all now. And there's no such thing as the Mace curse, clearly. Clearly
there's no such thing as the Mace curse. Mace, serious question.
Yeah.
You and I have always said the best game we've ever attended in person was Texas USC.
No question.
Vince Young pulled it out at the end.
Yes, no question.
Was this better than that?
God, this time we won. The good guys won this time.
I think it's in the conversation.
It's definitely in the conversation as just a great, great sporting event from beginning to end. And a lot of it is the fans. The fans at that place, and if you've not been to Banc of California Stadium, it is the first time I ever saw the stadium, I thought, oh no, this is something real.
Yeah.
Because it is a beautiful stadium. It really is. And it's a great experience.
Perfect size. Perfect size.
Perfect. Yep. Yeah, 22,000 fans. It's like really, really. Yeah, it's up there, John. It's in the conversation. It's in the conversation. It was really cool. And by the way, thanks to Sam Pines, our market manager, because at the very last minute he came through with a ticket. I'm like, oh, thank you, Sam.
That's a
thank
heck
you,
of a
Sam.
Hookup.
Yeah.
That's an unbelievable that they were able to create, like we're talking about, whether it's the stadium, whether it's the 3252, whether all of the little touches that are going to determine whether or not something is good or special, right?
Yes.
You build a new building, it's going to be good. You put together a new team, there's going to be some level of excitement. But to go from that to you've nailed the colors. You've nailed the stadium. You've nailed the integration with the city.
You've got the superstar and Bala.
The superstar. You've got an ownership group that is incredibly appealing.
Yep.
To have just basically aced that test in a very short period of time is extraordinary. I don't know if I've seen that before, where you just kind of out of thin air. I've seen teams move and show up and have success.
Yeah.
But to just create it like that, maybe the Knights in Vegas when they got hot.
Yeah, they got hot.
Not
right
a comp.
But that's really the only other one.
Yeah, it's I'm jealous kind of when you say the experience that you just said.
Yeah.
Like I could see that being one of the coolest sporting events that you go to for the next 15, 20 years. Like that's
it was
a special
really cool.
moment.
It was really cool.
So if that's the high,
yep.
Where is the low when they decided to run the ball on 3rd and 5 instead of throw a pass?
You know what? Thank you. That's when the game was lost.
Of
I said
course
right
it was.
Away, that's when the game was
of
lost.
Of course it was.
And Jalen Ramsey's complaining today. He's got every right to complain.
Yes.
They came up with that big stop against Brady. Then the next thing you know, and could Cooper Kupp have gotten that first down.
Could have got a couple more yards.
Could have gotten a couple of yards.
Yeah, close.
And maybe it's easier for Anderson. But I've seen McVay do this before. You know, that call to, we'll just punt and our defense will hold. And Ramsey's like, come on, man. We made a big
shot.
We never
should have been back out there.
Never should have been.
We never
should have been.
I was flabbergasted. Flabbergasted.
Like, and terrible call.
It was a terrible. It was the call that they wanted. Just hit the line, fall down, punt it away.
Right.
They weren't trying to get a first down in that spot.
That is unbelievable.
They weren't trying
to get a first down.
Not with that play.
You got to be a killer at that point.
All three plays, they weren't trying to get a first down.
Last year in the playoffs, they did exactly the opposite. With the game on the line, and they could have run the ball
taking
and sent
knee.
It to overtime.
That's right.
Same stadium.
Yeah.
They threw it deep to Cooper Kupp. Why? I mean, if you get a first down, the game's over.
They didn't get a first down in the fourth quarter. They didn't have a first down.
Three and out drives.
They had three drives, three and out.
Their fourth quarters are incomparably bad.
Do you know what their differential is in the fourth quarter? Negative 61. They're 61 points the wrong way in the fourth quarter. And
oh my
it was
gosh.
And this I think is what set Jalen off, right? Was this very clear declaration to your offense, there's nothing that you guys are doing
right.
that I have faith in. That was McVay's message to everybody there. These guys can't do it, you're going to have to do it. And Ramsey's thinking, again? We just stopped him from, what, the 7-yard line four
right.
plays in a
exactly.
row.
Exactly.
One of them pretty lucky.
Yep.
A drop ball. But this was not just let's give our defense. The defense had already done everything you could possibly ask them to do. You give Tom Brady 10 bites at the apple, he's going to get one of
right.
them.
Right, and the defense has been really good for the – you
terrific.
Look at the scores. The score we,
– had
how
9
times,
points.
How many times have we scored 30 in a game this year? We used
Once.
To average 30. One time we've scored 30. The offense is just dreadful. It is just dreadful. And I fully acknowledge you've got three starting offensive linemen on injured reserve and
figure
all that
out.
Stuff, but you got to figure it out.
Mace, you're nobody disagrees. They lost the game by deciding to do nothing for three downs and then punt the ball. But I'm asking you genuinely, what were they doing on defense in that last drive?
They fell into the classic prevent trap.
Right.
But they didn't even do that right. The prevent defense is you give them the middle of the field.
Yep.
You protect the sidelines and keep everything in front of you.
No yep. timeouts.
They didn't protect the sidelines.
The problem was the first play.
It was a
28-yard chunk that took like 7 seconds off the
yep.
clock. They gave them,
and all of a sudden, they're there.
They had to go yep. 60 yards, right? Where they started their drive, you mm-hmm. needed a 60-yard touchdown drive. They got half of it in one play.
In
yes.
about,
the very
in about
first
12
play.
Seconds.
It just it went right. like that. It was a... they blew it there, but I know that you keep it. The defense had nothing to do
they
with
didn't lose again.
That game.
No. This offense lost the game, but that last drive made no sense either.
Yeah. It's a you can't ask somebody to throw a perfect game. They didn't. They gave up a hit in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Yep.
But all you needed to do is get on base one first down. They had negative 5 yards
right,
for the fourth quarter.
Right, and where's the killer attitude, right? Where's the, you know, where's the we're 3-4 and what do we have to
this
and
is the season.
For it
this
and
is
put
the season
away? Exactly. Keep the season alive. And they chose, and this is a McVay thing, chose not to do it. Chose to kick the ball away and assume that the defense is going to be able to stop Tom Brady again.
Did you guys hear him say, I want to play this for you real quick. This is McVay after the game talking about what didn't happen, because there's a phrase in here that I want to get your guys' reaction to.
Tell him the truth. That's exactly what happened offensively, and I'm a big part of that. You know, we didn't do nearly enough to be able to win the game. Defensively did, and that's the hard part about sports, and that's what's so unique about football is you got three phases, and they're on the field at different times. We got to be able to stay connected, but there's no doubt about it. The offense, and I'm incredibly responsible for this, and it's a tough pill to swallow, and yeah.
He goes on to say that we need to make changes. We need to make what changes?
Yeah, what changes can you make?
What are you going to do there? Yeah. This isn't college football where you activate your freshmen and say, "All right, my seniors aren't getting it done. Let's get the thing started."
Right.
This is what you got. These are the players that you have. What do you do differently? Change.
Let me ask you a hypothetical. I asked John this last week. If we had gotten Christian McCaffrey, how different would things look?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Because we were very, very close,
I think marginal,
according to all reports.
Marginally different.
They still would have that offensive line.
Yeah, that's why they'd be better, because McCaffrey's special.
Yeah.
He can catch, he can run. But
they beat Tampa.
To John's point, yeah, they beat Tampa. They probably pick up that first down. But I don't know if they're the team they were a year ago. They still have all sorts of other problems.
Oh, lots of problems, yeah.
I think they got very lucky that the McCaffrey deal didn't go. They got very lucky that the Brian Burns deal didn't go, because the price tag on those deals were astronomical.
Yeah, a couple of firsts on those. Yeah,
Travis, I disagree with you.
I know you do.
I would have done both those deals.
Yeah, no, obviously the Rams. Agree
well, you
with
could
you.
Probably only do one, because you were trading the same stuff for
done,
one that you would have traded
done
the other.
Either one rather than.
But John,
do what
why?
They did.
Okay, so let's use the McCaffrey one as the jump off point. Since you why to get marginally better?
Yes, because you're either getting better or you're getting worse, and it's so tight. You know, Seattle's leading that division. Who's coming out of the NFC going to the Super Bowl? The Eagles, probably?
Eagles, Cowboys, both
Niners.
Look really good. The Niners, I think, are a good team.
Giants,
the Vikings have only lost one game.
So, John, you're saying because you're in the mix, at least, with all the – because there isn't
one
clear-cut
favorite.
Yeah,
you're in a window where you have Aaron Donald, Matt Stafford, and Jalen Ramsey.
And by the way,
you got to go for it.
But that's the other thing I thought was, oh, my God, in a year from now, McVay is going to be on Amazon, and Aaron Donald is going to be retired.
Yes. And that's the scariest part of all, because
Trav, why don't you want to capitalize on this window? Why would you want to do nothing?
Because where they are right now, there are 16 teams in the NFC. Rams are the 12th team in the NFC right now.
Right.
With Cash McCaffrey, you're the 10th team. You're still nowhere. And now you're just deeper in the
hole. But isn't
the
idea get into the tournament? That's
In the NFL, yes.
That it was a golden ticket into the tournament, I'd feel differently. I don't think it is. That's my point. I think they go from pretty lousy
by,
to slightly less lousy.
Okay, what do you gain by using the Travis Rogers plan of doing nothing?
you gain all of the picks that you would have to have.
And what do we normally do with those picks?
Well, we're going to have to use them for the first time in this era because they haven't used them.
Right.
And you're going to have to go for Aaron Donald was a draft pick. Aaron Donald was a guy that they got
to the
draft.
He's literally the only one.
He's not the only one. Havenstein was a draft
pick. Cooper Kupp was a draft pick.
Cooper Kupp's a good example. Cooper Kupp was a third round pick.
They didn't in last year, the third round pick hasn't played at all. Last year, Tutu Atwell, second round pick.
Disaster.
Hasn't played
Disaster
at all. They haven't picked in the top three rounds in forever.
Isn't that falling more to John's point?
Right.
No.
You're making my argument.
No, I'm not.
You can't draft.
No, I'm not. They have not had the picks. Last year, this year, they're sending out the second pick.
You just gave three examples of picks that they had and made and busted on.
Two. No, one's hurt. One bust. Tutu's the bust. Bruss got hurt.
Torres, whatever.
Right? The other ones, they didn't have the picks, John. This year, they'll have a second-round pick. They'll have a third-round pick. No four. They'll have a five. They've found guys down in the draft. They found John Johnson's. They found Troy Hill's. They found some guys to be able to do some things on this team. You can't never pick.
Yeah, I was talking to we watched a game yesterday, obviously, and I was so pissed off afterwards. And Juan was like, well, this is the price you pay. I'm like, is this the price you pay for pushing all your chips to the middle of the table over and over and over again so that you don't have the depth to survive a bunch of injuries? Depth is the huge issue with this team, and it's almost like
before the season started.
It's almost like it's hollowed out inside, and that it's premium talent.
Yes.
And if something happens to the premium talent, there's nothing to step in.
It's not unlike where the Lakers are, right?
Let's focus
you
on the
get
Rams.
It.
Let's stay.
But they both won,
and
the aftermath of the championship, it could be pretty grim.
Yeah, and this may be the price tag.
Yes.
Winning the Super Bowl.
And by the way, I'm okay with it. But let's start.
I'll pay that price every day of the week.
Let's start collecting more little pieces of string to go make another run to trade those picks out the other way. There he is.
Mario!
There's Mario. Mario's
Ruiz!
In the house. When's the trophy coming, Romario?
Mario's feeling good.
When?
When is it going to be here?
What do you mean when? It's going to be here in minutes.
Minutes.
Now, Mario is the producer of our broadcast, right?
The championship LAFC
producer
of the broadcast. Yes. Get it right, Mason.
He's already working on that imaging right now.
Outstanding. So cool to be there for that.
I know you were there, Mason. I know you were there.
Crazy, crazy.
Dying with the rest of us. Yeah. The ups and downs.
Oh, it was such a roller coaster of a game.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
You get to PKs and it's so nerve wracking.
Yeah.
It's so nerve wracking.
He said it's one of the best sporting events he's ever been to, and the laundry list of sporting events that he's been to. That says a lot right there.
Of course, me too. A lot of people can say the same thing.
Yeah.
But being that this is the station of the black and gold, it's only right that we bring the MLS Cup trophy here to the station, right?
Yeah.
But we also have a big, big surprise for you, Mace, because I know you wanted to speak to somebody, right?
Yes.
You wanted to speak to somebody, and it's only right that we bring in the cup along with the MVP of the MLS Cup Final, John McCarthy in the house.
Outstanding.
He's got hardware.
Yeah. He's got his MVP trophy with him.
That is amazing.
Congratulations, guys. That is fantastic.
That is
fantastic.
So we got the MVP trophy. We've got the MLS Cup trophy. Man. This is the Western Conference trophy. This is unbelievable.
Congratulations, man. That is awesome.
What congratulations, John.
Wow. The
have
MVP
a seat.
Trophy. Look at that. Look at that.
That is amazing.
That is so freaking cool.
That is amazing.
That is so cool.
So we're joined right now by John McCarthy, who was in goal for those PKs, who was the MVP of the MLS Cup.
Congratulations.
Wow.
John,
congratulations.
Where's your head right now? How are you feeling? What's going through your mind?
Yeah, I'm out of my mind.
Yeah.
I'm lost. I don't know what. The last 48 hours was nuts.
Yeah.
It's surreal.
Well, take us to those. First of all, you stepped in after an injury. What did that feel like to go in and know that it was really on you all of a sudden?
Yeah, I was devastated for Maxi, and I still am.
Yeah.
For him to have an opportunity to go to the World Cup, and he was going to go to the World Cup. I've talked to him since the surgery and stuff, and it's really sad. It's sad, but I just feel for him terribly. But that moment was insane. For a second we were talking, maybe I would go in for PKs, and I was like, okay, can I go to the bathroom real quick? I want to make sure that I'm like good. And then 2 minutes later, everything hit, and I was like, here we go.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah.
John, go ahead.
Were you, like you mentioned it there briefly, were you going to go into the game if it did go to PKs? Had you already kind of put yourself in a place mentally that, okay, I'm ready to go do this? And how does that change if all of a sudden, because of an injury, you're in there earlier than you might have expected?
Yeah. There was talks about it. We had talks about it. It was up to Steve. Oka said he would let me know if Steve made a decision. He made a decision upon it. So I leaned forward to Oka right before the start of the second overtime, and I said, "Oaks, I'm being serious here. Like, am I going in?" And he's like, "How long do you need to warm up? Like 7 minutes?" He's like, "I was like, yeah, I just want to run inside to go to the bathroom." And he's like, "All right, I'll let you know."
Wow.
And then he didn't really have to let me know.
So how when you're in PKs, is it just purely a guess? Are you guessing which way? How does that work?
So everyone knows there's like video out there. Every club, every league uses the same database and stuff like that. So that we did watch video on the guys that could have been taking PKs or could have been on the field at times. But Oka came out to me before PKs and he just goes, "You want the sheet?" I said, "Nah, I don't want the sheet," because it would have showed it. And he goes, "Okay, what are we doing?" I go, I got a good feeling. Let's just
so go. You didn't look at the sheet?
Since the game started, didn't look at it.
Do you make your decision before the ball struck? You're saying, "I'm going left, I'm going right." Do you make it long before the ball's ever kicked?
Yep. Just had my mind set on a few things, and Oka was like, "I like it," so we stuck with it.
Well, John, you were on that team, right? Don't you know some of those guys that were kicking against you?
I knew some of the guys, but not the ones that kicked against me. There was like 5-6 guys on the team. One of the guys got taken out was Corey Burke, Julian Carranza, the guys that were on the field, and Andre Blake and Jack Elliott. Those are the guys I played with. So they didn't kick, actually. The three guys that did kick, I never played with them.
Yeah.
So
that's even more impressive, by the way.
So what's it like playing before that crowd, in front of that? I mean, just a crazy, crazy, everybody on the edge. What was that like?
It was electric.
Yeah.
Absolutely electric. The fans all season long were absolutely electric. And in that the stadium, normally it's like the 3-2-5-2 were going crazy and chanting. And like the rest of the stadium is kind of like still cheering on. But everyone in that stadium was doing the chants on that day. And it was like an echo from side to side. And it was like, it's like a deafening, numbing like feeling. Like you get the chill. I get the chills thinking about
it.
LAFC goalkeeper John McCarthy joining us here in studio. The chorus, LAFC is your MLS Cup champion. It took place on Saturday afternoon. Like you're talking about, the place is just rocking. It's going crazy, right? The 3252 is doing their thing, but it's the whole place. How hard is it as somebody who's not in the game to not get caught up in the fanness of it all and try to say, "Hey, listen, I may have to go in and play in this whole thing"? And of course, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. It's a moment that you dream of. It's something that, like, you just dream of playing in a final. You dream of getting to a final. But I just try to train every day. Like, I want to win at everything I do. I like to compete. I prepare like I'm playing on the weekend, even though if my name's not on the team sheet, if I'm not going to play. So I just hope my preparation was right if the time did come around and good things happen.
I'm curious, just when that first penalty kick misses, does it change – like, as the penalty kicks are going, does it change your strategy? Does it change your, "Hey, now we're in a position. All I got to do is, if my guys start hitting theirs, we're going to win this thing"? Does it change anything as this is progressing?
No, I just hope it instilled maybe a little more confidence on the guys, not thinking we're down one. You know, it was kind of just like, "Oh, we're even." Like, we're back to, there's at least four more guys still. Like, you always pick five shooters because it's normally like a five round thing. But I hope that it just instilled a little bit more confidence in the next guys coming up. Like, "Hey, if I score, we're good. You know, just pick your spot and go." For me, it was just like, "Hey, it went over. Great. You know, we're back on track. Hopefully, I can save one." And I felt really bad for Hogsdag, because of how he slipped, and like, so I just tried to walk over to him and just like, "Hey, man, pick it up." And
yeah,
John, I thought watching the game that game was over three times. When they scored before Bale got the equalizer late, was your head of, "Okay, it's not our year, we're probably going to lose," and then the place just erupts? Do you allow your head to go there, or like fans do, or are you always thinking that your team's going to pull a rabbit out of the hat?
A game's not over till it's over. But when I made the save and I saw Jack Elliott's long leg, like somehow like do go-go gadget and like tap it in, I was like, no way, we're a man down. He just scored with like 6-7 minutes to go, whatever was left. That's how like this whole moment is going to end. Like,
yeah,
I couldn't believe it. Like, and then, like I said, it's not over till it's over. And Gareth, with a minute, 2 minutes to go, whatever it was, just absolutely rises up and just dunks on him.
Yeah, you know, the
like
thing.
He does. Like that. That's another moment you dream of. Like right. The stadium erupts. Like the crazy.
You know, the thing that's so weird about that situation is that it's in extra time, and you don't know exactly how long extra time is going to be. So you don't know how much time you have to get the equalizer.
Yeah, the clock stopped. You don't
so you're
see
looking,
time of...
you're looking at it. You're like, oh, I don't know how much time do you think is left?
Yeah, exactly. And there was 9 minutes of added time in extra time.
Right.
Like holy crap, man! Holy crap.
Do you remember being on that stage? Do you remember? I mean, when I've had like crazy moments in my life, I don't even remember. I'm like, do you remember being on that stage and all the stuff that happened afterwards?
Yeah, the more it's talked about and not just like thought about, I remember it. Like, I remember standing there and screaming at Carlos and throwing beer and water at the owners. And like, it was crazy. Like, you feel like you're on cloud nine, and that's what cloud nine felt like. And then Carlos walks up, we made like a little tunnel for him, and we're all screaming. And then he lifts it. It was like so many emotions. The tears of joy, like you can't describe it. You cannot describe that.
So, John, what do you do now?
I got chills again.
I mean, you won the cup. You're the MVP. How do you celebrate? What do you do for the next weeks, months? And obviously, there's always another season coming up. There's more matches to be played. But how do you just kind of soak all of this in?
You just try to soak it in. I don't know how you do it. I've never done it before. This is my first time. I haven't lifted a trophy since I was 15. Just try to enjoy it. I really want to see a lot of my family and friends back home. My phone was still going nuts with people calling and texting me. That's how I just want to enjoy it with the people that were like, we enjoyed it the last 2 days with the team. So that was crazy. I want to go see Maxi. I want to have a good moment with him. And then family and friends, couple more good nights, I think. And then you got to, like you said, there's all next season. You got to kind of get back into focus at some point. And I think that'll just be day one of preseason. It'll kind of reset. And hopefully when I get that ring, it'll settle in a little bit.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, listen, I got to be there. It was one of the great sporting events I have ever attended from beginning to end, roller coaster up and down. And
me too.
You. And so thank you for that. And thank you to the LAFC.
Congratulations, man.
Unbelievable game.
Congratulations.
Unbelievable performance. Incredible. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. I got like tears thinking about
it. You have well earned.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well,
you're not the only
earned. Well deserved, for sure. That's John McCarthy from LAFC. Congratulations.
Yes.
One more time. Mason in Ireland is coming up next. Slee and I will see you tomorrow.
Thank you, guys.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No voice.
Yeah, Jorge's got no voice. Hey, fun to start the day with a championship, isn't it? How about that? John McCarthy in here, MLS championship trophy.
That thing was heavy,
it
man.
Is.
That thing is beautiful.
Trophy.
Super heavy.
Oh, beautiful. So,
John, I'm sorry you couldn't be here for this.
Mace, point of clarification.
Yes.
So, Cappy had a ticket that he offered you for the game, and Morales tried to take it back, saying, Cap, it's not yours to offer. There is no ticket. And then you ended up sitting next to Morales anyway, so it wasn't Morales' ticket either.
No, it was our boss, market manager Sam's ticket.
So why didn't Morales want you to go?
I have no idea what Morales, but, and you know, it's true, I did not talk to Morales during the game. By the way, that was not a game to have a friendly chat during. That was a game to, like, be nervous and on the edge of your seat the entire time. Right. It was, I mean, Bergman, oh, well, Jorge, you were there.
Yeah.
Jorge's got little voice today.
Yeah, little
I'm
voice.
I'm proud of you, man. Briones.
Man, I was right behind the goal box in front of the 3252 front row.
I saw exactly where you were.
Taking
yeah.
photos. I saw the injury happen. We heard the snap of his leg, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We saw some of the goals on that side. And, we caught the celebration of Ilya after he scored that penalty kick. We got the celebration. We're getting shoved. Cody and I, who are covering this thing for social media, we're getting shoved. We're getting pushed. But, man, it was so exciting. It was like one of those events you had to be there. I'm a soccer. I love soccer.
Yes.
You have no idea. I love it.
Yeah, and I'm happy you're there. I'm happy you got to be there.
What do you think of this reaction I'm getting? That I thought that was one of the best games I've ever seen for me, because I'm not a giant soccer fan. I mean, my dad grew up in Ireland, so I've watched most World Cups. But I thought that was as good of a soccer game as I've ever seen. And then everybody coming back at me with, well, it's second tier, it's third tier, this league is no EPL, this is no world. I mean, who cares?
No, I mean, look, we're getting players from all over the world coming to this. This league is growing by the year. Every year we're growing.
And that was the absolute pinnacle of the league.
That's
right?
Exactly
what you saw on Saturday was the best game in 29 years.
Yeah, that's exactly why we get players like Gareth Bale, David Beckham coming out here, all these other European players coming out here because the league is growing. And you saw the results of that on Saturday.
Right, and it's not the gold medal game from the 2016 Olympics, right? It's not Neymar with the PK. It's not that. But, it doesn't change the fact that what we saw was, and I it's not a word. It's kind of magical what we saw.
It really was.
It really was. I mean,
It was for boxing fans. It was Ward Gotti. It was one of those fights where you maybe didn't see it coming, but at the end, at least three times, I thought the game was over.
Oh, yeah.
When the Galaxy scored with about 8 minutes left, I said, okay, that's it, they win. Then out of nowhere, Philadelphia ties it. And I'm thinking, oh, no, now we're going to PKs. Then the goalie breaks his leg.
Yeah.
They bring in the backup. I don't know if you guys even noticed this. McCarthy made an unbelievable save. And then that guy just happened to be standing there, and he kicked it in. And now they're down a man and down a goal.
Yeah.
With 3 minutes to go, and you figure there's no way. And then that Gareth Bale goal, which, for my money, produced the greatest play-by-play call from an announcer I've heard in 10 years. Have you guys heard that Spanish Univision call?
Yeah, you sent it to us on the old text machine.
This is such a great call.
Okay, you got it, Jorge. Go ahead and play it.
Cabezazo, gol!
Awesome call.
I just timed that. It was 19.7 seconds for that.
The goal?
Yeah, the goal. The long goal at the end. It was 19.7 seconds.
I texted Beto and I said, who is that? And he said, it's a guy named Ramsey Sandoval who's been in the market for a while, and he got hired by Univision to call that game. And you talk about meeting your moment. How great is that? But even, Greg, even before the 20 seconds, I'm going to work Si Señor into a Laker game this year.
You need to.
Si Señor.
What would it be? What would it be for?
Or Jorge, what would the other Julio stuff he was saying?
Oh, man, I was caught in a moment right now again. Let me listen to it.
Jorge's voice is amazing.
Jorge's voice is gone. I've been to a game, man. I was rooting hard. It saved the weekend. I'll tell you what. It was the highlight of the weekend without any question. And I guess, did they have a, I heard they're shooting a movie at Bank of California Stadium starting today.
For like 2 months.
For 2 months. And so they had to do the celebration yesterday at the at Bank of California Stadium. But what an unbelievable moment that was. What was that, Jorge?
We should play Dave. Dave's call was awesome.
Oh, Dave's call was awesome. Yeah, we should call Dave Denholm's call. Do we have that?
Palacios looking, throws it on the ground to Ilias Sanchez on the far side. LAFC trailing 3-2. Tiki dragging it to the end line. Palacios keeps it in play. To Bale in the middle. Gareth Bale has tied it up! Gareth Bale has tied it up! It's 3-3! Jump for LA Football Club, ole! Ole! Jose Cifuentes, Cheeky Palacios, dug it out. They did not quit, and Gareth Bale was in the middle waiting for it. And Gareth Bale delivered. It's 3-3.
How great is that?
By the way, at least three of those goals were from unbelievable flying headers.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't just the goals. It was the quality of the goal. It was just great.
Yeah, it was so much fun. That's a great crowd. I'll tell you what, that's an unbelievable crowd. And John McCarthy said, who, if you're just tuning in, John McCarthy, the MVP of the MLS championship game, was just here. And he said, you always hear the 32-52, but on Saturday, you heard everybody in the whole stadium doing the cheers
for 120 minutes, 130 minutes. They never quiet down. Even when they were down 3-2.
Even when they fell behind,
kids, there's kids crying. There's women crying back there. And one of the guys, like some of the guys from the 32-50, they're like, no, we don't cry. We don't shut up. We keep going. Our team's going to make it happen. And, man, they're champions now.
The nervous thing, John, was, and you know this from what, obviously, but you go into extra time. Right, and you're down 3-2, and you don't exactly know when the extra time is up because there's no clock on it. So you're like, "Oh, gotta hurry up! It's gotta hurry up!" And I was watching on my watch.
Down,
I was like,
"You're down 3-2, and you're down a guy."
Yeah, that's
right. Goalie got a red card. They were playing 10-on-11.
Yeah, God, what a game! What a game!
But that's why you bring in a guy like Gareth Bale,
exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Because he was able to come in and jump over that one dude, Elliot, was 6'6". He had to jump over a 6'6
dude. Jorge,
were
you surprised that – I wasn't surprised they brought Vela in. I was surprised they took Vela out.
No, something I like that – you know, something about Vela, he said in the press conference that this is a team that no matter who's in there, they have the same objective. No matter if I'm in or if I'm out, we're all in there for the same purpose. We all have the same goal, and it doesn't matter who's in there. We're just going to make it happen.
One question. Now, you guys were watching TV, so you heard the analysis. Was John McCarthy going to be the goalie for PKs no matter what?
Yes. I don't know.
The TV announcers thought so.
Yeah, because it happened once before in Philadelphia for a cup final where he was – or an open final is what he said. Because he came in the 120th minute for Philadelphia just for PKs. They ended up losing that, but that was kind of what was happening in this game where at one point you could actually see McCarthy stand up and tell him – and the Steve Cherundolo told him to sit down because they didn't want to tip their cap – or tip their hand at all. So he was going to come in, but they just didn't know when they wanted him to get up and start warming up. Wow. It was intense.
Hey, were you guys surprised? I was trying to think of another time in the history of me watching sports, and I couldn't come up with one, that I guess the goalie break in his leg was so gruesome that Fox elected not to show any replays, not one, not one in real speed, not one in slow motion, nothing. I think I would have shown it once, at least once at real speed. If you want to just say, hey, this can be gruesome, but this is the play where you really got hurt. Would you guys have done what they did?
Such a tough call. You know, I was sitting with David Kent, who watches a lot of soccer, and David Kent looked at me right away and said, he just snapped his ankle. Just snapped it.
So you couldn't tell? You couldn't tell what's going on from where you were?
No. David Kent knew right away, oh, that guy snapped his ankle. And you said you heard it.
We heard it. Cody's like, did you hear that?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you need to show that?
Even when Paul George was playing for the Olympic team and he broke his ankle on the stanchion, they showed the replay a couple of times. The reason I thought they'd show the replay was because the guy got a red card. And so it was paramount to the importance of the game. It was now going to be 11-on-10. But I guess it was so gruesome that they didn't want to show it.
Yeah, I'm with you, John. I've never seen them not show it before. I had to go to Twitter just to try and find it, and really, they only had the one view from Fox, so you couldn't tell what even really happened. I'm actually glad I didn't see it now if it's
they're
that gruesome.
They're going to be criticized no matter what. If
yes.
they show it, they're going to be criticized. If they don't show it, we're criticizing them. So they were in a can't win.
Yeah. What a game. What a game. Oh, it was so much fun. So much fun. And then the Lakers had a weekend.
Why got to go there? Come on. Why got to do that? Then we're happy. LAFC!
Yeah! Rams yesterday.
Jeez, man, way to bring it down.
Well, Mace, you know, I'm in Salt Lake City with the Lakers. Did you hear what's going on tonight?
I heard no LeBron, no Pat Bev, and no Lonnie Walker.
You know what that means?
No, I have no idea.
If you're going to the game,
yeah,
no refunds.
No refunds. There you go. All right, coming up next, we're going to spin the wheel of questions. We will get to some regular stuff too. It is a Championship Monday here at 710. I had to think about what day it was. Championship Monday. John, I've got really interesting news about something on the ballot that we're all going to be voting on tomorrow.
All right, cool.
We got that coming up, plus Wheel of Questions. Hey, stream live sports and original content with ESPN Plus today. You get access to the award-winning 30 for 30 library, unrivaled UFC access, including exclusive pay-per-views, live coverage of 35 PGA Tour events every year. Get the ESPN Plus Disney Plus bundle today. Watch ESPN Originals, 30 for 30s, the entire Disney and Marvel library, and more. Stream anytime, anywhere. Go to ESPNLABundle.com to learn more. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, spinning the wheel on a Championship Monday, and this is what's come up. What would the world be like if a giant asteroid hadn't wiped out the dinosaurs? What would it be like if a giant asteroid had not wiped out the dinosaurs, John?
Well, hopefully it wouldn't be like Jurassic Park where they'd be running around killing and destroying everything.
Why wouldn't it be? We developed after the dinosaurs, so would we not still be at war with dinosaurs?
Well, I think that we would have found a way to contain them at this point, don't you? Like,
you think they would be in zoos like Jurassic Park?
Yeah. But then in Jurassic Park, they got out.
See, I don't think Neanderthal people would have ever been able to figure out how to beat dinosaurs, right?
So we'd all be living in a world where dinosaurs were king?
We'd be in a cave, and we'd have two cans and a piece of string joining, and we'd be doing a show from a cave.
You're not going far enough. Would not exist.
Wait, Mace, hold on. In your world, in the cave.
Yeah, in the cave.
Could I still get a massage chair?
I'm sure you could still. Yeah, there were Neanderthals with massage chairs back in the day.
Then I'm good.
Jorge, would we even be around?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think we'd even.
I don't think we would be around.
No, I think we'd get. As soon as Neanderthal guy started getting up and walking around, I think he'd be lunch.
Could I get DirecTV in the cave?
I don't believe so. And by the way, you would not get. Obviously, you would not get the Pac-12 network.
No one gets the Pac-12 network.
Yeah, that doesn't exist. But John, you wouldn't be able to have your comfy chair.
Well, Greg, were you not listening?
Were you listening
one
to the show?
Ago?
The part where he talked about the chair?
I did not hear
that. Do you actually pay attention to your own show?
Yeah, sometimes. Really depends on what's happening.
I wanted to let everybody know that Championship Monday. We are on YouTube today. I got LAFC gear on. You can't see John, but you can see Bergman, and you can see Jorge on YouTube. Go to YouTube /ESPNLA to see the whole thing. Did I get it right that time?
Yeah, we're close. You forgot the .com. It's okay.
I'm not doing .com. Also, we're the only station giving you a chance to win $1 million. Listen all day today to play Million Dollar Mondays just for playing the game you win. Pair of tickets to see the Rams Cardinals this Sunday at SoFi. And a chance to win $1 million by giving us your Super Bowl prediction and telling us the two teams and the final score. Good luck. It could happen at any moment, your chance to win. So, Ireland, it's Championship Monday.
Yay!
So, John, where do you want to start? There was one championship. Mm-hmm. Then there were two bad Laker games and a bad Rams game. Where do you want to start?
Well, I suppose we should tackle the Ram game first.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because it was the most
brutal.
Recent.
Just brutal. I'm so pissed off. Well, I was texting you guys.
Here's the interesting thing. Yeah. You know what? You're a quitter.
What do you mean I'm a quitter?
You're a quitter.
How?
You sent me a text saying the season is over.
Yeah.
The season is not
over.
We're
not
going to play for a chance. We're not going to play for the Super Bowl this year.
Listen.
The team's not good.
Wait a minute. I'm not saying the team is good, but it doesn't mean the season's over.
Well, I mean, I'll be there on Sunday. I just don't anticipate that we are going to be a playoff team. You'd have to go 6-3 from this point.
Not
I don't
impossible.
See it. And it's highly unlikely.
Not
impossible. I'm just, yeah, are you against realism? I mean, I sometimes come in here and I sold you a bucket of sunshine on Friday and said if we can beat Tampa, we'll be 4-4. If we don't, we're falling into a hole.
Bergman, how much money did Mason lose to me?
It was a push.
It was a push. It was a push. It was a +3.
+3.
Oh, so no money exchange.
No money exchange. Zero money exchange
on that one, yeah.
Okay. Still at $3,000 or $5,000.
So the game, and John, you were texting about the defense on that final drive, which I agree was super soft. They were giving them everything underneath, and they got a big chunk play to start. But, you know, Jalen Ramsey, the Rams, you know, up, get a fourth down stop on Tampa with 2 minutes left, and they get the ball back, and they're 3rd and 5, and instead of drawing up a play to get the first down, McVay runs Henderson and turns the game over to the defense. Here's a little bit of what Jalen Ramsey said. The defense should not have had to go back on the field. Simple. Got to have some dogs who are going to go get it. Who should have come to the sideline after a big stop like that? And our coaches or the other side or whoever telling us we're going to need some more time. We're going to need y'all more time. Like what the F? We just made a big stop, turnover and downs with a minute and some change left and no timeouts. Got to have some dogs who are like, man, F all that. We are going to end this game right now. Good stop. We're going to end the game for y'all. They didn't end the game. And I don't understand. This is not the first time McVay has done it. We'll ask him about it on Wednesday when it comes on. But that 3rd and 5 play was ridiculous. It was basically an invitation to Tom Brady to say, go ahead and win this game.
And the surprising thing is, the year before, in the same stadium, they did the opposite. They totally went for it and surprised him by throwing deep, and they won the game. But I guess they just didn't have the confidence to do it this time. So maybe it's the offensive line and all the injuries or the fact that they can't run the ball. But I was surprised that they didn't try and win it.
Yeah, it's very, very frustrating. But, I mean, you know, I said I had made the Carolina game must win, as you'll remember, John. It was absolutely must win. I made Sunday must win. If you can go 4-4, you're in that race. 3-5 is a really big hole to dig out of, especially when you've got the schedule coming up that you do that includes, like, Kansas City. Really tough schedule upcoming. So, you know, I will be there. I will root them along. We will do everything we can to help the Rams win, but I just don't feel the pieces are there this year, and I've got to be honest to the people.
Well, they're not there so far, but just, you know, the way you play the first 8 games doesn't necessarily dictate what's going to happen in the next 8. So, I mean, they've got to get healthy on the offensive line. They've got to do something.
Well, they got 3 guys on injured reserve. There's no there's no way to get healthy on the – there's no way to get your starters back. They're on injured reserve. So it's not like you can just plug somebody in. Like, they grab somebody I actually made a big deal when they got that guy off the practice squad from Indianapolis, Nietzsche or something like that. He was out there yesterday from the Indianapolis practice squad to starting on the Rams offensive line. That's what they're dealing with. And I just think, you know, and the Tony Romo talked, as you know, so much during that game. Would not shut up during that game. I cannot stand Romo. But he made a couple of good points. One is that the most important one is that the Rams don't have any depth. And I think it's a function of not having draft picks, about trading them all away. And I would do it again and again and again. And the Rams were ready to do it again with Christian McCaffrey, ready to do it again with Brian Burns. They had 2 first round draft picks on the table for both of them. They didn't go through. So it's not the Rams didn't stop trying. It's just they couldn't quite make something happen. But they do have no depth, and that's why we're in the situation we are.
I don't disagree with any of that, but it still doesn't explain why he didn't go for it on 3rd and 5.
No, does not. Does not.
That's the thing that is tough to swallow. Oh, wait, that thing's back? Wait a minute.
No!
Is it still going on? Mason, is it still going on?
I love your face. You get so mad.
Yes, it is still going on.
You didn't take my advice and break
and
in.
And break in. No, I don't want to be an E on my record. So I did not. Yeah. I'm just hoping somebody comes home or it runs out of batteries. It's like doing the show from home.
I get that beep every couple of minutes. All right, John, I want to throw this at you. First of all, tomorrow's election day. It's such a weird situation right now because the time changed. It's raining here today. It's a proven fact. Jacob Ronnie was just here. Do you realize that the Monday after daylight savings time, more accidents than any other day of the year?
Why?
Because the time changes and people are in a different mood and they're more reckless and they're driving at night all of a sudden because it's dark early. So it's already bad. Then it's raining on top of that. Then last night, it's a full moon. Then tomorrow's election day. It's like the weirdest couple of days we're going to have in a while. And I came across a poll, John. I don't really follow electoral politics. That's not my jam.
Liar.
So Prop 27, which is the FanDuel DraftKings.
One of the two gambling props.
Saw a poll. 64% no.
Yeah, I'm voting yes.
I'm voting yes.
I am.
I'm voting. I voted yes on both of them. I want there to be something.
Yeah. Why, Bergman, what do you have against a
legal? Voting yes. It's short-sighted to not do it. It's going to happen at some point.
I don't understand why we're so far. We're so ahead on weed. Right? We got to weed really fast. Now we're not willing to do gambling. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing to me that California is so behind on this. And does the legislature have to do something or what? Or does this cancel that out, these two ballot initiatives? I don't know. But it does not appear as though we're going to have legalized gambling anytime soon.
I think that if you want to make a bet, you can find a place to bet. So it's not that.
Well, you're talking about what, illegal betting?
No. I mean, well, you could.
It used to be on your phone. I mean, in other states, it's right on your phone.
Yeah, you can go to a bookie, but if you really want to. But the other thing is you could do, you can, there's offshore betting and there's websites. And if you really want to bet, you can find a way to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, this is making it easy on your own telephone.
Right, which is why I voted for it.
Hey, what is the deal? What is the deal with Momo's text chain this weekend? Did you?
Yeah, where did that came out of nowhere? And she put like 20 people on.
Everybody's
so
on
many.
Trav and Slee and you and me and Sedano and Kaplan and Bergman and Lindsay and Jorge and Morales.
Ramona's bored.
Ramona, and all of a sudden then, she makes this gigantic text, and we all have text chains going, right? Specific text chains, the show text chain we have. Momo just put everybody on one to bitch about the Astros winning the title. And I'm
and
like,
send us pictures of her kids.
And then all of a sudden we've got baby pictures. Then we've got Slee puts a picture of a pizza up.
Yeah, what was that? Like Slee, what are you doing putting pizza on there?
Put a picture of a pizza up. Just so random.
So if you're not on that text thread, should you be upset?
Okay, so let's see who's not on it. Trav, Slee, me, Ireland, Sedano, Cap,
all
Bergman, Lindsay, Jorge, Morales. The only people not on it would be Emily and Taylor.
And Laura.
Oh, and Laura.
How did Laura get mixed out of that?
Ooh. Laura's going to be upset.
Emily and Taylor?
Me.
I mean, Momo's throwing shade at him. It's kind of messed up.
Don't believe she's actually throwing shade at them. All right, coming up next, USC, UCLA both won. Where are they going to be in the college football playoff situation, which is going to be revealed tomorrow afternoon? And the Lakers, like the Rams, dynamic late in games. We'll talk about the Lakers as well. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.